Well, good morning. Thank you for being here. If you got a copy of God's Word, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter. Luke chapter 2, we're not looking at the classic Christmas passage as of yet. I'm planning on that for next week, so I hope you come next week for Christmas Eve. Looking forward to that day of worship. But we're looking at the temple scene when Jesus is being presented at the temple. And all of this, considering John's Gospel, first chapter, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And understanding that God became man, understanding all the Christmas narrative, the question I have as a very practical man, what does that mean for me? What am I supposed to do? Does it mean I need to give a lot of gifts? Now, my wife's got that covered, just so you know. And that, I can say that because she's not in first service today. Does it mean we wear Christmas sweaters? Does it mean we have Christmas parties and eat a lot of food? Which I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to do that Tuesday with the elderberries. I'm going to visit family this week. I'm going to eat a bunch of food there. That's not what Christ coming and dwelling among us leads us to. You see, when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, it changed everything. And it changes us, the believer. I want to show you in the text what it means to wait for redemption based upon the temple scene. So Luke chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 36, read through verse 38, and then we'll go back and backtrack a few verses. Luke chapter 2, excuse me, and starting in verse 36. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of Him, the Christ, to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. The phrase waiting for redemption piqued my interest. I was reading through a devotional book by Eli Stanley Jones, a former missionary to India and also to the Japanese in the 40s. And he talked about that waiting for redemption. That piqued my interest, and I want to know what that means. And I believe that summarizes we, the believer, in response to Christ coming as us. So the waiting for redemption, found in their prayers, found in their longing, was only answered in the person of Jesus Christ. He met all of their needs. I want to, for a moment, talk about waiting for redemption of Jerusalem. That's point A, waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Anna is a prophetess, one who speaks truth on behalf of God. She, among others, had the same feeling, the same yearning. It says, waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Not many will write about this or comment or speculate, but they had this experience. They wanted God to come and redeem Jerusalem. Redeem means to set at liberty, to pay the price of sin or pay the ransom price of someone who is held hostage or kidnapped. We put a price upon their head and someone has got to redeem that individual. Someone's got to come and pay the price. They were waiting for God to come and redeem Jerusalem. Now, the terminology used in this and also in the previous verses, really this fits more in the Old Testament style than the New Testament. This is the terminology used in salvation, referring to the sacrificial system. Someone's got to pay the ransom price, give the offering. So in a sense, what they're waiting for is someone to come and pay the cost of the real offering. And when they're saying we want God to show up not just for us, we want him to show up in Jerusalem. There's a great prophetic drought that occurred between the Old and New Testament. And they wanted God to show up in their city. They wanted God to show up among their people. In fact, they wanted God to show up in Jerusalem. That center of worship wasn't good enough. They were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. They wanted God to show up. And oh, did he show up. Luke chapter 2, let's go to verse 25. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now, there's someone else, not just Anna and others, waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Here, Simeon, point B, is waiting for the consolation of Israel. You say, Pastor, this is confusing. It can be if you let it, but it's not a big deal. You say, what's the secret to this? Jesus showed up and made it right. Now, both of these, they're waiting. One is for redemption, one's for consolation, one's for Jerusalem, one's for Israel. Let me phrase it this way. This is the two sides to one coin. They're looking for the Messiah. It's the same as point A. It's just a different terminology. Simeon wanted something similar. Now, he doesn't use the word redemption. Luke doesn't. In fact, he uses consolation, the Greek word paraklesis. It means comfort. It means encouragement, help. And I would, in this context, translate it as restoration or healing. So in other words, Simeon wants someone to show up and give not just Jerusalem, but Israel comfort. Simeon wants God to show up and give healing and restoration to the people of Israel. Now, he's not speaking of just a city. He wants everybody to receive the comfort that can only come from God. Not just the people of Jerusalem, but all the peoples that belong to God. And let me steal a phrase from the New Testament epistle, James, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. I think that's what Simeon wants. I think he wants God to comfort his people no matter where they're at. Whether they're waiting for redemption or consolation, whether it's Jerusalem or Israel, they want God to show up, and he is the answer to their prayers. And the Word became flesh. How miraculous the request. They prayed for years. Both are older in age. And he, God, in person shows up before them. Anna, Simeon, others are all waiting for God's greatest work, the Word becoming flesh. And in verse 38, it won't be on the screen. So it's not just Anna and Simeon. There's a third category. It says that Anna shared with all of those who are waiting. I believe that summarizes you and I, this common matter of faith. We desire for God to show up, and he did. And because he showed up, we have freedom and grace. Waiting for redemption and waiting for consolation. But let's talk about you and I, not just the theological description. Let's talk about you and I. Let's get real. What does God want from us? It's not just, hey, that's a nice Christmas story. We feel really good about it. We're supposed to be changed individuals. We're like those waiting for redemption. And I believe it captures it here. Luke chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 25, read through verse 35. Follow along if you're able. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous, devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit in the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law. He took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you've prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Of all the people mentioned in Scripture, Anna, Simeon, others, they had similar values. They wanted the same thing. They wanted the Messiah. They phrased it differently. But there's five characteristics of those waiting, whether for the consolation or redemption. Five characteristics I want to show you based upon the text of what it means for those who are waiting. You say, Pastor, we're not waiting. Jesus already came. He did. He came. He conquered sin and the grave. And he is in heaven, and he is coming back. So therefore, we, much like this in Luke 2, we are waiting for the king to come back. Five characteristics. The first is this: we're not satisfied with the world. Those who are waiting for redemption have a longing only God can fill. I mean, you can fill it with spirituality or religion or the temple scene, even like some are doing, but they want God, they don't want the world. These people are of the world, but they're not of the world. And the world has no sway over them, and nothing the world can offer them gives them satisfaction. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, John tells the believer to do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. You see, the people waiting for redemption, the true people of faith, the believer in the Messiah, are not satisfied with the world. And whatever the world can offer, we're really not interested. When my wife and I lived in Memphis, we were away from family, and we had a couple in the church that adopted us. His name was Bunyan. We called him Bunny. That's just the one. They came up with that before I got there. And his wife's name was Sue. They adopted us. They treated us like their children. They treated Abram, my firstborn, like he was their grandchild. Every Sunday morning, they fixed us breakfast. It was incredible. And Bunny asked that when we got there, you know, where are you from? And I told him we're in Arkansas. And he said, that reminds me when I was young and working in a factory, Arkansas got hit by an ice storm, and he was in Memphis his whole life. He said a factory got shut down, ice was everywhere, no roads were passable, and they called our factory and said, we need this certain part to keep our factory going. They said, no, we can't send it. And so Bunny volunteered to drive from Memphis to somewhere in Arkansas for a few hours on ice. And he said it took twice as long as it should have. He said he was a nervous wreck when he got to that factory to deliver that part. He said he just wanted to go home. The owner of that factory said, Mr. Hammonds, thank you so much for saving our production line. I'm going to cook you a steak. I'm going to treat you to the nicest dinner for what you've done for my company and I. And I said, well, man, how was the steak? How did they give you extra money and treat you like a king? He said, I told that man, give me a cup of coffee. I'm ready to go home. He said, I was not interested in what they had to offer. I wanted to go home and see my wife. You see, believers, we're not interested in the things of the world. There's many things that can take our attention, particularly at Christmas, but we're not satisfied with what the world has to offer. We're not interested. We don't want it. We want Christ. Now, the second characteristic of those that are waiting, those longing for redemption for the king to come back. Number two is the focus on worship. They were waiting, which is not a fun experience, but they kept their attention on God. It's interesting in Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 38. It's in the temple. It's the picture of worship and the picture of gathering. When people are offering sacrifices, Jesus' family included, who kept the law, they're offering sacrificial presents, thanks, guilt offerings, or whatever. But all of this to reflect back on God. A longing, a yearning, a waiting to see the full redemptive picture of God. There's no better way for a family to spend time together than to worship. No better way for us to live, waiting for redemption, waiting for that day when the Christ King comes back, to worship until he does. And that should be our focus above all others. The third characteristic of those waiting for redemption, waiting for consolation, are those that live out their faith. I base this upon Simeon. Scripture says he is a righteous man, which means a right standing before God. He was devout. The way he lived his life was very practical. He lived out his faith. Not only that, living out your faith, a subpoint of that means being filled and led by the Spirit. It says the Spirit of God told him, you're not going to pass away till you see the Messiah, the Christ. Anna, she was a widow, but she didn't let her retirement years slip away by playing dominoes. She fasted and she prayed and she worshiped. Not just individually, but when other people came in, she wanted to make sure they knew about Christ, one of the greatest evangelists of Scripture. Didn't even have a formal office. I know she was a prophetess, but it wasn't a particular office. So what should we concern ourselves with? We know we want to worship. We're not satisfied with the world, but in a practical way, not just this Christmas season, but throughout the year, we live out our faith. It's what matters most to us. 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul encouraging Timothy to instruction in sound doctrine. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. We need believers to live out their faith in the public realm in a practical sense. Let me give you the fourth characteristic of those waiting for redemption. They expect God to work. It's this unusual characteristic. God's going to show up. They were waiting, but yet had the same expectation that God was going to do something great. Simeon was led by the Spirit. Anna prayed in a nonstop fashion. They didn't know when. It says they were waiting. But they had this uncanny feeling. God's going to show up and do something. Now, there is a struggle to wait. Don't get me wrong. It's hard to wait. It's hard to wait when you have kids and you wrap presents and put them under the tree. I can talk about them. They're coming to second service. My wife is great of wrapping presents. I let her. That's her gift, her ability, not mine. Wrap the present, put it under the tree. You know what they have to do then? Wait. They think they can barter with us. Like, what if we open the smallest present a little early? How about you get a job and pay for those presents yourselves? We got to wait. Now, we as a family, we exchanged gifts on Christmas Eve. Earlier, and when our children were younger, we got to wait for it to get dark, and then we give our gifts. And as the years have gone on, our time of getting gifts gets earlier and earlier. Now, as soon as they get up, like, hey, it's time to give gifts. Hey, we got to have coffee and breakfast before y'all start doing this. It's hard to wait. But with the waiting, there's the anticipation God's going to show up. Throughout the months, looking back at the previous year, there were certain times in the life of our church we had this, if you want to call it a holy expectation, or this inkling that God's going to show up. I know it happened when we prayed over the sportsman's banquet. We did 30 days of prayer, and I think God showed up. Lots of decisions for Christ. Looking back at Easter, had a lot of prayer, a lot of preparation. I think, man, God's about to do something. I had that feeling about the 24th next week on those two services, morning and evening. As a staff, we're already praying about Easter. Palm Sunday, I know what I'm preaching. Easter Sunday, we're unveiling some new stuff. We have this expectation that God is going to work. Now, that's in the formal ecclesiastical sense in the church. But what would it look like? We as individuals, we as couples, we as families, we as a church family said, I think God's going to show up in my life. Simeon had that feeling. God said, Simeon, you're not passing until I bring it to pass, until I show up. Anna, all those prayers, wondering when, and then God showed up. They had this earnest expectation that God would be real to them. They expected God to work. It's a struggle to wait. I know it's tough. We're studying through the book of Genesis. We just concluded our Wednesday night Bible study. We're focusing on Joseph right now, looking at the promises of God. He got that promise that his brothers and family would bow down before him. Then he gets abandoned. He gets sold. He gets accused. And then one of the heroes of our faith is a felon. Sometimes it's hard to wait. It says that he was in prison for years. But he knew God would do a great work. He just didn't know when. You see, believers, when we celebrate Christmas, it's not about gifts. It's not about the festivities. It's not about what we wear and all the trappings. It's about this expectation that God's going to show up, because he showed up once, and it was glorious. Let me tell you, he's going to show up again. It's going to be greater. Let me give you the fifth and final characteristic for the believer, those who are waiting. We believe Christ makes all the difference. In verse 26, Simeon, all he wants is to see Christ. He does not mention he wished his retirement account was greater. He does not wish, man, I wish I went on that river cruise, which would be fun. He says, man, all I want to do is see Christ. In the end, that's all that matters to him. Anna, all she did, verse 38, all she did was speak about him, the Christ King, the child. Everything they hoped for, everything they longed for, everything they prayed for was found in the person of Jesus Christ. Nothing else mattered, because the Word became flesh. In John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, the Word was with God. And then in verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Christ makes all the difference. So how should we live? Well, based on those characteristics like that, we should live like we're waiting. There should be this tension in our lives that can only be filled in the person of Jesus Christ, that we are waiting for consolation, we're waiting for redemption. We want that. We want Christ. That's all we want, because he makes all the difference. How then shall we live? Giving gifts is not bad. Being festive is not bad. How then shall we live? Have these characteristics that God's word shows us. Live like you're waiting. Live like you're yearning for God. Maybe you've never trusted in Christ. Maybe you've never surrendered your life in faith to Jesus. You have a short period of time now in this life, on this earth, to make a decision of faith where you say, I surrender myself. I place myself at the feet of Christ. I surrender. I believe in my heart, and I enunciate, I communicate that verbally or even in my mind that He is King and He is Lord. And if you've done that, Scripture says, here's a promise of God that you will be saved from the penalty of your sin. All the things you've done wrong, actively or neglecting, all of those things God wipes away and makes you right or righteous. Maybe you've already made a declaration of faith to Jesus. Maybe you need to renew your relationship today. Maybe you've let sin come into the picture. Maybe you've taken a step back and you've put yourself on autopilot. If you have, you don't drift towards holiness in God. You just kind of drift among your own ways. Maybe you just need to spend time with God and reflect and say, God, I need to change the way I'm living. Maybe there's other decisions of the faith. Maybe you need to be baptized or join the church. Maybe there's a matter of prayer, not about a decision, but maybe something's going on in your life, you just want to pray. Maybe you have someone on your heart or a family or a situation you need to pray for. I would say in the time before us, bring those needs to God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the word in Luke 2. Lord, this small nuance of Scripture about waiting. Father, may we wait for you. May we long to see redemption come. May we plead for you for comfort that can come only from you. Father, may we be delighted in the Christ King. As we read here that he came and met the needs of the people, Father, we too are waiting for him to come back to meet us in our time of need. And Father, change us that we could live different lives. Father, may we stand in contrast to the world, the way we live, the way we love. May it be because this passage that we're waiting for redemption and consolation. Father, would you bless those who need to make decisions? Father, would you give a great sense of consolation even now? A profound supernatural sense of comfort that can come only from your Holy Spirit. And Father, would you fill our hearts with your goodness? We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.